I thank you for this group of people, these friends that I get to pursue the Lord with. Lord, I'm asking that you would empower me today to speak by your Spirit, that I wouldn't say the Sam things, but I would say the God things with your heart and in my own way, God, that you would just do that perfect work in each of us today, that we could be who you created us to be in alignment with your Spirit, in Jesus' name. All right. So I'm going to read a passage to start. This is 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 5. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. This is the hanger that I want to put my whole message on today. And I want to be clear that we cannot separate following Jesus from prophesying. We cannot separate the two. They are intertwined because Jesus, he only did what he saw the Father doing. He only said what he heard the Father saying. And you and me, we're all like 96 steps below that, right? And that's all right. We're starting there and we're coming up. And so I'm hoping today we're going to see why we want to come up. What is our process of coming up? And how we do it with the Lord. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page about the critical importance of prophecy. Now, we've made prophecy a way bigger word in the church than it actually needs to be. And I'm going to talk about the definition of prophecy a little bit, but we've really grown this up like huge. So what, when you think of a prophecy that you've heard, don't shout out the prophecy. Just think about a prophecy that you've heard. Raise your hand if that prophecy was personal, just given to you. The first prophecy you thought of. Okay. Raise your hand if the first prophecy you thought of was like a national prophecy, like, you know, something that had been given out nationally. Raise your hand if the first thing you thought of was a prophecy that you've heard, like, from a pulpit. Okay, so most of you are something different, so my idea here didn't work very well. But what I'm trying to get to is we all think of something a little bit different when we think of prophecy, and I'm hoping to show you today that it all matters, that when we talk about prophecy, we can't say something is true about the big national prophecy that isn't also true about me and Jen talking on the phone, sharing what God is saying. Okay? The prophetic, the ideas in the Bible about the prophetic, they apply to all of those things. So, some people really, I mean, we rightly want to focus on just going after Jesus. Hey, we're just going after Jesus. But if we're going after Jesus, we really are. We're going after healing. We're going after prophecy. We're going after words of knowledge. We're going after forgiveness. We're going after meekness. We're going after humility, because those are all the things of Jesus. Right? We're going after feeding the poor. Like, it's all of it. And I think that we start to like say these little things to each other, like, I don't want to just go after prophecy, when we do, because prophecy is Jesus. It's what God is saying. So we got to go after it. So we've got to be hearing him and saying what he says. I can't entangle the two, and, or I can't unentangle the two, is what I mean to say. There's nothing, this is what we were singing today, there's nothing that our God can't do. And so do you know what that means? He can purify the prophetic in you today. He can purify the prophetic in you today. Where you've prophesied out of your spirit, where you don't prophesy, he can change that in you today. There's nothing he can't do. So when I'm talking to you today, I'm going to talk to you about hashtag goals, what we're all trying to go for. You know I'm not there yet. You know me. You know you're not there yet. That's okay. We're going somewhere, right? We're going somewhere, and we get to do it together. There's a song by Kingdom Culture Worship, and it's called Fill My Cup. I just love that song. But one thing that she sings over and over in that song that I've been singing a lot is, I want to be a good receiver. Part of the prophetic, part of being a good prophetic speaker is being a good prophetic receiver. So today I'm going to share with you some things that are in the Bible about prophecy, how we prophesy, and how we receive prophecy. Now, there's a lot of teaching right now out on Facebook, all over the place, about what the prophetic is and isn't, how it is evaluated and how it isn't. And I want to tell you something, most of it's false, because it's not based in what the Bible says. Okay, so we just want to get into today, what does the Bible say about prophecy? So the answer to false prophecy in the church is not less prophecy, it's more prophecy. If you are concerned that there is false prophecy in the church, and there is, right? You better be concerned about prophesying yourself, because the only antidote to false prophecy is true prophecy, because we aren't stoning people and killing them. And guess what? God sent Jesus, because there was a better way than stoning and killing people who prophesied falsely. So every time we come here, this is my goal for us, and we've talked about it in the past. My goal for us is that you would all, and I would consider every time I come into this building, it's more than this building, right? It's when you go to the grocery store. It's when you hang out with your friends, take your kids to school, all of it. But that we would be committed to being prophetic in every single thing we do. And if you think that's outrageous, look at Jesus. That's what he did, okay? So there's a few things about prophecy that are just true. If you don't agree with them, you've got a controversy with the Lord and not with me. So I'm going to tell you what they are. I'll give you the passages, but I'm not going to go over every single one of these things. We'll just dance through them. One thing is, we're not to despise prophecy. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:20. If you despise prophecy sometimes, that's all right. Repent of it. Okay. There is a reward for the prophet and a reward for the person who receives prophecy. So if you give a prophecy, there is a reward for you if God said it to you. And if you receive the word of a prophet, there's a reward for you. You can find that in Matthew 10. Some prophets and prophecy is false. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, 1 John 4:1, 2 Peter 2:1-3, Matthew 7:15, and 2 Peter 2:1. You want those later? I'll give them to you. But that's all over the place. There is false prophecy. Today, I'm not trying to say that there's not. I'm trying to say, what do we do? Jesus only spoke prophetically. That's the fourth thing that we have to agree on about prophecy. Jesus only spoke prophetically. John 12:49-50 and John 5:19-20 are two places you can see that we can't even have a controversy about whether or not Jesus was prophetic all the time. He was. So the thing I've learned here at church through the past couple years and through prayer is that I don't want to categorize any person or ministry as good or bad. This really helps me as I'm listening to prophetic words. So making rules about how I deal with prophecy isn't spirit-led, it's fleshy. But if I embrace the principles of Christ, the Father, the Spirit, talk to him and listen to him about each situation I'm in, then I'm able to move like that river we were just singing about. I'm able to move and flow. I can grab that ribbon and I can go with it. The same thing is true for those we view as leaders in the church. We won't be so offended by something a leader says that we feel is off if we haven't categorized them as good or bad, right? When there's a prophet out there saying something and you never liked that prophet to begin with, you're like, oh, there he goes again. You know, you're not worried about that. It's when somebody you really liked, that you really loved, says something that offends you, then you're like, you're so mad and you're off kilter. But if we realize no one's all bad and no one's all good, then we can flow in the Spirit and figure out what the Spirit's saying. I'm not saying we don't need judgment and discernment. We do. But that judgment and discernment, it's based on the Word and the Spirit, not on a bunch of rules that I've created. And here's the problem I'm having. I can't look up at you and have my glasses on and read my things. So I do the best here. So John 12 talks about belief and saying what God says. The section title in John 12 over verse 42 is Walk in the Light. Nevertheless, even among rulers, many believed him, but because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. This is the first pitfall in the prophetic. It's the first pitfall in receiving the prophetic, and it's the first pitfall in giving the prophetic, which is loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. So we can get ourselves in alignment in the prophetic if we love what God says more than men. So I'm going to hop down just a little bit in that chapter. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, this is verse 48, that has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now, this is Jesus talking. Jesus said what the Father said. So we can too, and we can do that in safety. Now, I know we're not perfect at hearing him, but what we're trying to be is better, right? Every day. And so there's a difference between caring about the false, like we all care about false words being given out, but we don't need to worry about it. If I train myself in the prophetic, in the Spirit, then I can speak into the lives around me, the people that I'm in relationship with, just like I'm doing right now. I can shine myself, and I don't have to be afraid of what other people are doing. I care about how it violates God when there's false prophecy, but I pray and I allow those people in relationship around them to work on them, and I continue to minister to the people around me in spirit and in truth. Everyone's a mix. We've got to remember this for friends, prophets, teachers, politicians. Everyone is a mix of good and bad. In fact, this goes right back to the prophetic. We want to put a bunch of rules around prophetic because we're afraid. We want to protect ourselves. We want to protect people around us from the false, but we don't need to be afraid. Barbara read a passage on Friday morning from Mark 9 that I thought was really applicable here. Mark 9, 38. Now John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us, casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him, because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now, what this is saying to me is we're not supposed to be running around forbidding all types of prophecy. We are supposed to be hearing the Lord and prophesying ourselves. So the only sure way to be protected and safe is to hear the Holy Spirit and apply the principles that are laid out in the Word. What we've been talking about, it's easier on our flesh. We've talked about this in several different messages over the last few weeks. It's easier on our flesh to have a bunch of rules so I can just say, that's good, that's bad, that's good, that's bad, and listen to what I want to listen to. But the truth is, there's always a mixture. When I, me, Sam, when I can hear God, I'm safe, right? When I hear him in a group of people, the tabernacle of David, the Psalm 27 reality of someone prays, someone sings, and we come into it together, I'm really safe. How do I know I'm safe? Because the Bible says it in Psalm 27. That's the whole point of the tabernacle. So this is why I don't just do this alone, right? I don't just, Sam and God, and what is the Lord saying? No, I come here and I work it out with other people who are reaching for Tom and God and Vince and God and Bev and God, people who are reaching. I do this together with them, and then my ears are opened up. What is God saying? So Isaiah really does a good job laying out the posture of a prophetic witness. So this is from Isaiah 6. So I said, Isaiah 6, verse 5. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What's the first part of the posture of a prophetic witness? Poverty and repentance. Right? If I come before the Lord in a spirit of poverty with repentance, that's part one. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. What's part two? Being cleansed, sanctified, exactly. So first I repent, and then I allow myself to be cleansed. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. What's step 3? Willingness, what? Obedience, yes, going. Being willing to go and say. So as I've been praying and considering the prophetic rules I've been seeing, I wanted to share what God's been leading me through, which is this. It is more important that I train myself, that you train yourselves, regular old people, than to retrain everyone else, right? Because these people out here, they already consider themselves leaders. They're not learning anything from me. And God did not put me in authority over that internet person who gave the prophetic word. In fact, they didn't put me in authority over the person across town who gave the prophetic word. They put me in authority in relationship with all y'all, right? And so you guys are the ones that I do this with. So it's really important, because if we stay under authority, then we've got God's authority resting on us, because all authority comes from God. And it comes by, if you've been reading the book with me, revelation. Authority comes by revelation. So we train ourselves. We are not trying to retrain everybody else. In the midst of tribulation, this is going to be really helpful that we've trained ourselves in the Spirit, because there is all sorts of hootenanny going on around us, right? But we can be steady if we have trained ourselves in the Spirit. I know. How many times will you say hoot nanny? I don't know. I like a hoot nanny. That's true. All right, so many people are talking lawlessly right now out of their sphere of authority, especially prophets. But what's that to me? Not much. Not much. There is prophetic that comes true and leads people. Oh, because this is the one of the main tests I hear out there. If a prophecy is from God, it comes true. If it didn't come from God, it didn't come true. Click, click, wrong. That's what my dad would say. Every time I was wrong, he'd go, click, click, wrong. It wasn't that fun, but he did it a lot. So check out Deuteronomy 13, okay? You might want to look at it in your Bible, but otherwise make a note of it for later. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Way back in Deuteronomy, he was telling people, look, they're going to prophesy and it's going to happen. And it's still false. It's still false. So you read all these rules right now on the prophetic, and people are saying, if this one didn't come true or that one didn't come true, the person is false. That is not the measure of false. The measure of false is, did it lead you to go after anything but God? Did it lead you to go after anything but Jesus Christ? Was it the Spirit or wasn't it? That's your only thing. Now, it goes on to say that person ought to be killed, right? So the Bible does talk about killing the person. But, yeah, and I'm going to tell you some other things that could get you killed. So the Bible is the gold standard for prophecy. Or the Bible reasons, let me restate this. The reason that prophecy is true or false isn't did it happen or not. It's did it lead you to God or not? Did you go to God or not? As a sidebar, the Old Testament has different interpretations of what should lead to death than the New Testament. Cursing your parents, gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and cursing God's anointed like any other pastor, any other person that God put in front of you to tell you something, you do any of those things, that's grounds for death in the Old Testament. But this new covenant, what we've been talking about, the Sermon on the Mount, it goes deeper than that, right? It's better than that, and it goes further than that. So let's not look at, should we be stoning the prophets? And guess what? When we are throwing our words out at them and making up all of these parameters for prophets, this is what we're doing. We're stoning them. So we don't want to do that. There's good information in Deuteronomy 18 as well. I'm on verse 15 in Deuteronomy 18. A new prophet like Moses, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren. Who is this? It's Jesus, yeah. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of them. So hopping down again, prophet says a bad thing, you can kill them. When a prophet speaks, verse 22, in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, listen to this. If the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. MBD, you guys, it's not that big of a deal to me if I'm in the spirit. If somebody is speaking, I do not have to be afraid of that. Now, do I care about it, right? Do I care that the Lord is violated? I feel like I'm going to go down if I step on that. Do I care that the Lord is violated? I absolutely do. I absolutely care that the Lord is violated, but it's not hurting me if I've trained myself. So God cares about false prophecy, but he is not worried about it. And he says we shouldn't be afraid of the guy saying the false stuff. So what does make us safe? Ephesians 6, we talk about this all the time. This is one of Dean and Bev's favorite parts, putting on the full armor of the Lord. So I'm not going to read that again because we read it a lot in here. But let me talk to you about before and after it. Verse 6 of Ephesians 6, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavy places. These are big, scary things. They're real, right? So what do? We take up the full armor of God that we would be able to withstand in the evil day. All we need to concern ourselves with is not getting those powers and principalities. We put on the armor and we stand. All right, let's go down to verse 18. How do we do this? How do we wield the armor? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I put on that armor and I use it myself in prayer first and then responding to what God said. So this is how we become prophetic. We evaluate prophecy on fruit, not if it's true or false. Tom's talked a ton about this, so I'm not going to redevelop that. But we want to see what prophecy is doing. So let's remember, just for a word that we can all remember. Tom gave a word last year about sickness, but that prophetic word was a lot less about sickness than it was about the truth and love. And I think the truth and love was just one facet of it, but that was a word about the truth in love. Sickness was just the sign, right? And I just was thinking on the way here, in 1 Corinthians 14:32, it says the word of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Back when Tom gave this word, at a time we had something going on with bats in the congregation, you'll remember. And I leaned over to Tom and I said, I think bats have something to do with your word. And I never came up here and said it till later. You know, we talked about it out loud later, but I didn't say it at the time because the Lord showed me that, but he did not show me to release it. I was the one receiving that prophecy, but that wasn't for right now because I think because it could have stirred up fear and concern in the moment about things were going on that weren't what God was talking about. All he wanted me to know later was that I was hearing him. It had something to do with bats in Wuhan. So I want to talk to you just about what Strong's says. So the Strong's Concordance, when we look up the word prophet that Jesus used frequently, it's 149 times in the New Testament. It's Strong's G4396. And this is a word Jesus used himself over and over. So this is what Strong says about prophetic. And just try to think about what we've turned the prophetic into as a church and what it really means. One, moved by the Spirit of God, solemnly declaring to men what he has received by inspiration. Prophetic words are meant to be released, especially future events, and in particular, such as relate to the cause and kingdom of God and to human salvation. Prophetic words are meant to do something to draw us to the living God, not to the prophet, not to all of these things we don't have to do or worry about, but actually what we're supposed to do. I like this one. Universally, a man filled with the Spirit of God, who by God's authority and command, in words of weight, pleads the cause of God and urges the salvation of men. I was going to say boys and girls, brothers and sisters, this should be our goal in all the stuff we're saying, to plead the cause of God, saying words of weight. Our words should matter. Foretold certain future events in religious assemblies of Christians being suddenly seized by the Spirit. But listen to this. It says, whose promptings, however, did not impair their self-government. What that means is that the prophetic is something that I'm personally in control of as well. So God speaks to me and I make a decision about it. It's not these crazy kind of ticks that we are screaming and feeling out of control. That's not the prophetic. That might be happening. I'm not going to say whether or not that's happening. It's just not the prophetic, right? The prophetic is under your self-government. And the last thing is, which have power to instruct, comfort, encourage, rebuke, convict, stimulate their hearers. So the prophetic is supposed to do all of the things that everything we say is supposed to be doing. And I want you to just go back with me, and you're thinking, some of you are thinking right now, it's impossible. I cannot make every word that I say. I know Sam, she does not have every word that she says. No, I don't, but I want to. It's the goal, right? It's what we're going for. So these principles apply to all prophecies, the ones we share on the phone, at the grocery store, social media, in churches, a message in an out loud prayer, or one-on-one when I'm just praying with a brother or sister. These prophetic principles apply to all of this. In fact, the armor that we put on is more prophecy, not less. So in the world, we're talking all the time about these rules about prophecy. Those rules can really only apply to big prophetic words out there. Because if I've got a word for Barbara, there's no way that I'm going to go like double check it with Tom and then check it with Vince and just make sure it's all right and then go give it to Barbara. I've got to pray about it, hear from the Lord, and see what he's seeing for me to do. So we've got to be careful that we don't make these big constructs for big prophecies. So I'm going to talk about what are some of the rules that I'm talking about. So the first rule that I see is, let me say this. The first thing I want to say is that Matthew 25 lays out right after the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, he gives the parable of the talents. And I won't re-go over that with you, but basically that is the parable where you're given a little and you bury it because you're afraid of what's going to happen, and the people who are given more multiply the money. And so it says, Matthew 25, verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to them, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And then at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the pattern that I want you to see here is that as we prophesy more, more prophetic words are given to us. Okay? We do that, and the really sad thing, the thing that we don't want to do, is bury our prophetic words, right? Those little things that God says, we're like, oh, I'm not sure, so I'm going to bury it. I'm not going to talk about it. If I do that, or if I teach people to do that, I'm in big trouble with the Lord. So when we teach people rules surrounding prophecy that aren't in the Bible, we teach people to bury their prophecy. So a couple of them are, I'm going to jump down to what you say, but I don't, yeah, it's okay. I don't have it written in order, but maybe it's correct that you're missing what I'm saying. So a couple of the rules that I've seen are that you can't give prophetic words out if you haven't gone to seminary. I've literally seen that by friends that we all have. You can't give a prophetic word that hasn't been vetted by the people over you. And I'll talk about this in a minute, but it's the idea that a prophetic word must be given in community. It's absolutely true that prophetic words have to go out in community. Otherwise, they're not prophetic words because no one heard them, right? But that doesn't mean that when God tells us something, we go check it with everyone else and make sure that they heard it too, because you can't find a verse about that in the Bible, right? The only time you can find, like, I thought of Paul and Peter, like, kind of working with each other on the eating of the meats or whatever it was. They checked with each other because they were about to change the whole church. Like, they were going to change the whole church. But you got to remember that all of this stuff, it's got to be done under the leadership of the Lord, right? Because if you go to a church that requires that your prophetic words are checked by the elders and checked by the pastor, your prophetic words have to be checked by the elder and checked by the pastor. You decided to go to that church. You put yourself under their authority. So that's your choice, but you've got to remain under that authority, right? That's why I'm thankful for the freedom we have here to come and release what you're saying. And you know what? The Lord works out our safety. He works it out every time. So, if I'm on a hunt to crucify my flesh day to day, I'm better in the prophetic, both as a giver and as a receiver. And, you guys know the passage in 1 Corinthians 9, where it talks about we're, all training like athletes. So let me read that. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might become disqualified. The whole point of receiving the prophetic and giving the prophetic, it's training with the Lord. We train with the Lord to do it, but we don't train by not doing it. We don't wait until like we're prize fighter ready to release that thing, because the only way that we learn is by doing it. So again, we don't want less prophecy. We want more. All right. So we are bound to going after perfection. And here's why. In Matthew 12, I think we're going to be around verse 37 because I'm skipping part of this. But listen to this. This is talking about good fruit being produced in your heart. But listen to this. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. All of our words are being weighed by the Lord. So we want to be getting in the habit of letting him lead and guide all of our words. Now, this isn't where we're at. This is just where we're going. So when we see these rules about the prophetic, it's got to be in community. It has to be agreed upon by elders. It only can be said by somebody with seminary training. All of these rules have the net result of casting doubt on prophecy and limiting it. And they really actually only apply to a limited number of people anyway. And I just want to crystallize this for you. There is a article in Politico, so that's like a national magazine, and the article's about the prophetic, and I've seen it shared widely on Facebook. And one of the main, he's like a big prophetic pastoring guy. But when I brought up the name to Noah, he was like, I have no idea who that is. So I'll gather that not everybody knows who this is, but you can read the article in Politico. It says this. He and a Brooklyn pastor began, this is after prophecies about Trump that people are saying didn't come true or did. Again, I'm not arguing about any of that. What I'm saying is, this is what the church is trying to do to counteract these. He and Brooklyn pastor began organizing secret monthly meetings over Zoom with a new confederation of 20 prophetic leaders representing various streams in the movement across ethnic, racial, and denominational lines. Their aim is to set up guidelines for public prophecies and requirements for accountability. One idea, the group could demand that anyone who wants its imprimatur, I don't even know what that is, I think it's like their stamp of approval, needs to sign on to certain rules. Those who don't will be left out of our circles. You guys, this is dangerous. There should be a number of phrases in this that give you warning. Secret monthly meetings. You're having secret monthly meetings. You're not doing. That's why we live stream everything, because nothing is secret here. We're not saying anything undercover. A new confederation of 20 prophetic leaders, they're tearing down that old pyramid and building a new one. That's not a new confederation of Jesus. He's confederated. He's already at the top and the bottom by his choice. Requirements for accountability. I don't have my Bible up here. The Bible lays out the requirements, right? You're accountable to Jesus. Jesus isn't going to ask you who your pastor was. He is not. Left out of our circles. Does that sound like Jesus? No. Jesus says, my desire is that all would be saved, right? He's not leaving anybody out of his circles who doesn't walk out, right, on their own power. This is so arrogant, you guys, and we've got to stop sharing it like it's not. We've got to stop saying it. So we've got to be committed about speaking what the Lord is speaking. And we have to be ones who are committed to speaking the truth in the light. So this is actually a big deal in Kalamazoo. This is a thing that I've seen on Facebook a ton about the prophetic. And so I'm going to talk about it because it's something we need to pray about in our city. And it is the idea that prophecy needs to be done in community and it needs to have the approval of the people over you. This isn't true. The way biblical prophecy is judged is by releasing it into the light. When we sell prophecies, we're in huge trouble. That's not something that's really happening here in Kalamazoo. That's happening nationally. But when we demand that people not release their prophecy, when we actually say, you can't say that prophetic word anymore, we are going against what Jesus said. Here's Matthew 10, verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach it on the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. We don't have to, except if you go to a church that says you do, then you've put yourself under that authority. But we don't have to by virtue of this passage, the reality of prophets throughout the Bible. We don't run our prophetic words by others before we release them. Now we can, right? I mean, if the Lord says, Tom, check with Lonnie on that, Tom is going to check with Lonnie. If God tells me, hey, run that one by Tom before you get up and give it, I'm going to do that, right? It's all what is the Spirit saying to do. I'm just saying Jeremiah wasn't like, hey, what do y'all think about this? Isaiah wasn't like, okay, I got to go build a consensus before I give this one out. Neither did Paul, right? It's not a New Testament or Old Testament thing. When God gives us something, we speak it out in the light so it can be evaluated. It doesn't mean nothing we say will ever be false. That doesn't mean we won't get corrected. It's the only way we can. Because if I take that prophecy that he gave me and I just noodle it, think about it, talk to God, I can convince myself of anything. But when I come up and stand at that microphone, my words find me out. Have you ever been up there and you were coming up to pray something and the words started coming out of your mouth and you were like, oh, that's not quite right. That's because it was coming out in the light, right? It's the nature of the atmosphere here in the prayer room because we've decided that no one's the boss over everything you say there. That's why the prophetic is able to bubble up and come out. But if we're not individually committed to that principle at home, if I'm not at home asking God, God, what do you want to say through me today? Recognizing that I'm probably not going to get this whole thing that changes the earth, right? But I am going to get something that changes the atmosphere here. Like I'm going to get something that's under my authority to get. So we need to speak prophetically. When we hear the words of God, we need to speak them with the heart of God. And this is the last thing that I'll talk about today. You all know that I've been really concerned about spiritual authority and speaking things under authority because I've been reading Watchman Nee's book, Spiritual Authority. And I really think God led me to study this book intensely at this time, because it's so serious to God that we speak the words of God with his heart. So we've got to be doing this in our families, with our husbands, with our kids. We've got to be prophetic here at church. We've got to be prophetic at the grocery store. We've got to move in our sphere of authority, which means two things. We say what God shows us to say, and we say it with his heart. Because if I mean, this is 1 Corinthians, right? If I speak with the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I'm just a gong. That's true. And one of the examples that Watchman Nee gives that I wanted to bring up here was the idea of Moses. He talks about Moses coming down and seeing that golden calf being made. And Moses, you know, to any onlooker, he lost his ever-loving mind, right? He was angry. He was smashing. But that was the heart of God toward what was going on. Later, those Israelites whining again about the water, and Moses, he cracks his stick on that rock, and God said, "You don't go. You don't go into the promised land." Why did that happen to him? It's because he spoke without the heart of the Lord. The Lord wasn't that kind of angry with Israel over that thing. So we want to prophesy with, yes, speak to the rock is what he said. We have to prophesy what he gives us with his heart. Now, I don't want to say that we don't want to, we believe what the Bible says about teachers being held to a higher standard than other people. But what I want us to believe is the higher standard that we are held to, we're held to by the Lord, and the Lord is going to hold those teachers to that higher standard. We need to consider where we are all teaching someone and hold ourselves to that standard. And I think a real dangerous thing, and I see it here, I see it out in the world, a really dangerous thing is where we start to run around and try to hold everyone else accountable. We are really hard on teachers sometimes. We're really hard on prophets sometimes. Me too, right? Because I'm scared. But what God is saying to us is don't be scared. Hold yourself accountable and you are going to be safe. So I just want to read you this passage. Maybe. I went out of order. So James 3. So when in James 3, James says, don't let many of, this is right at the beginning, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, right? But here's the end of that chapter, verse 13. And whoever's doing response can come back up. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not ascend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every little thing are there. Can you see this sometimes in the prophetic? Can you see this coming out in your own heart when you're railing against the prophetic or you're railing against the fact that you're not hearing enough? We don't want to be self-seeking in this. We get confused when we're seeking ourselves. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Lord, I'm asking today that we would be people of peace. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us not to rewrite rules concerning the prophetic, but Lord, that we would open ourselves up to more of the prophetic. Lord, that we wouldn't try to limit what anyone else is saying, but we would be committed to speaking in the light what you tell us in the dark. Lord, I want to speak in the light. I want to run with people who speak in the light. I'm asking that you would give us your peace, your humility. Let us grow in righteousness and let us grow in the prophetic. In Jesus' name.